Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations. Online at shrm.org.
A cartel for natural gas.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. More than a dozen natural gas-producing countries are meeting in the Middle East today. They're talking about creating a price cartel, you know, like OPEC in the oil business. Our European correspondent Stephen Beard joins us from London. What prompted this, Stephen?
Well, this is actually not a new group. They set up in 2001. But what's giving them real momentum now, apart obviously from the rising price of energy, is the growth of liquefied natural gas technology, or LNG. You know, this is where they take natural gas and turn it into liquid and load it into ships and then deliver it around the world. That makes natural gas far more of a global tradable commodity, like oil. Across the Atlantic, for example, you have more of a market. Now, that's a market which no doubt a gas cartel would very much like to influence, if not manipulate and control.
Is there any chance they can create an OPEC-like cartel?
It's not going to happen this week, that's for sure. It could be some way off. I mean, there's going to be a lot of argument about this. Nevertheless, for consuming countries, and especially European countries, which have become increasingly dependent on natural gas, this meeting is a worry.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because we always hear every winter there's such a fluctuation in the price of natural gas, and you know, it has a huge impact on home heating bills. So is this something we should be worried about?
Well, Americans should be less worried, perhaps, than Europeans, but natural gas and liquefied natural gas in particular, which the U.S. is gearing up to receive in ever-increasing quantities, is certainly a growing component of the world energy market. And if there is a cartel, that's not going to be good for consumers.
Okay, Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Our European correspondent, Stephen Beard. A group of Middle Eastern investors and American buyout firms might be stirring up a bid for Dow Chemical. A British newspaper says this group could pitch something by the end of the week valued at $50 billion. That would be the biggest leverage buyout ever. And Dow would likely be broken up into several smaller companies. Japan's Nikkei was in the money today. It climbed 1.5% to a six-week high. Other Asian markets did well. South Korea and Singapore both hit all-time records. Wall Street tries to keep its rally going this morning. All the major indexes put on at least 1.5% last week. President Bush will be in Yuma, Arizona this morning. He's making another pitch to Congress for comprehensive immigration reform. John Dimsdale tells us what that means.
By comprehensive reform, the president means stronger border enforcement, a verification system for employers, and a guest worker program for current illegal immigrants. But a group of nearly 100 House members say they'll reject any bill that includes amnesty for the estimated 12 million people who've entered the U.S. illegally. Kurt Bardella is the spokesman for the House Immigration Reform Caucus.
It's a slap in the face to the millions of people around the world who are going through the process, who are waiting their turn, who respect the rule of law principles our country is founded upon. They're trying to abide by a process, and the message that this administration is sending is, if you break our laws, you will be rewarded.
The caucus wants Congress to split up the immigration issues and pass those on which there is consensus, especially an employer verification system. With election politics already heating up, advocates of comprehensive reform realize their window of opportunity this year is short. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By Medtronic, applauding the many contributions of America's volunteers. You can find volunteer opportunities in your community today by visiting volunteermatch.org. And by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years with a commitment to provide objective financial advice.
Well, I put it off as long as I could. Got to do the taxes this week, and I will be writing a check. But at least the government doesn't make me pay my taxes and shave. Sean Cole tells us a little story about that.
A while ago, I went on this guided tour of historic Boston pubs. The guide, a guy named Kim Carroll, was dressed as the 18th century ship's captain Silas Talbot. But unlike the real Talbot, this guy had a beard. So we're talking about beards and 18th century America, and all of a sudden he says,
"Well, there's actually a beard tax."
Come on.
No, there was.
There was a beard tax?
There was a beard tax.
Because it wasn't considered proper to have a beard in 18th century Boston. The only problem with this story is that I couldn't find anything to substantiate it. Even John Steele Gordon had never heard of a beard tax in Boston, and he's business historian super guy. But he told me Peter the Great instituted a beard tax in 18th century Russia because he wanted everyone to look like the classy Western Europeans.
And the boyars, as they were called, the nobles, they all wore these long beards. And that became a status symbol because you had a beard, it meant you were rich enough to pay the king for the privilege of wearing one.
In other words?
When you're taxing a whole bunch of people, they can behave in ways that are not expected.
A more recent example is what happened when George H.W. Bush imposed a yacht tax in the early 1990s. See, because the rich are smart.
Well, they bought secondhand yachts instead of new ones.
Mm-hmm. So instead of pulling in the projected $16 million in yacht taxes, the government made a whopping $58,000 and almost destroyed Maine's yacht building industry. And John Steele Gordon says this kind of human response to taxation used to really bother economists. They wanted economics to be physics, cold and formulaic, but it can't be. Economics is all about human behavior.
Economics is one of the biological sciences, not one of the physical or mathematical ones. It's always going to be a soft science because human beings are so unpredictable.
Yeah.
Thank heavens, it would be an awfully boring world if everybody did what you expected them to.
For instance, the IRS is expecting me to pay my taxes. In Boston, I'm Sean Cole for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy your Monday.
American Public Media.